song says, "You are not alone." Amen. He's always been there. Hallelujah. He created us. He made us. Thank you, Jesus. You are not a God. still be praising from the testimonies on Sunday. Hallelujah.
Those that did travel safely over the highways, amen, with so many accidents. We listen to the news. In one state alone, because of the storm, they had over 650 accidents. Amen. People turned over, people down in ditches. Amen. But God is a keeper. Can we say God is a keeper?
God's keeper.
Amen. I know, because he kept us as we traveled. Amen. We passed accidents and garbage trucks turned over and garbage all over the throughway. But nevertheless, God is good. Amen. We thank God that he brought James and Brooke safely over the highways. I think Patty be getting it wrong. She always be saying Brooke and James.
No.
James and Brooke.
There you go.
Amen. And well, Sister Marcella, amen. Safely on the highway, but we just bless the Lord. You know, ladies are partial. So ladies like to name ladies first. Amen. So we'll take that, make that up. But truly we thank God tonight, amen. How many had a blessed Thanksgiving on yesterday?
Amen.
How many had family time? Amen. I was showing someone that's nothing like family. Amen. Family is important. And if there was ever a day and time when family need to put little things aside, this is the day and time. Amen. Someone should be big enough not to let little things bother them. Once again, we should be big enough not to allow little things to bother us. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand in a minute, but not yet. Amen. I woke up this morning, you know how God is dealing with you, so I did all this preparation, amen, this morning, you know, I let the Lord speak to me concerning the message. Then I said, wow, that should be pretty good. He said, no, that wasn't for the saints, that was for you. What? I spent all those hours for me? Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, God knows what he's doing. I cannot question him. Amen. So after I spent all those hours, the Lord talking to me, then I had to prepare something else for you all. Amen. But you know, God is good. Amen. And I'm not going to tell you what it was about because it's for me. Praise the Lord. That was a long time. First thing, it was still dark out. I was like, wow. You know, I just said, Lord, just speak it. I said, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I said, yeah, Lord, but I put everything down to get it together. And then you put that down. That wasn't for them. That was for you. So I let the Lord speak, amen. And these are dangerous, challenging times spiritually, amen. Even in leadership, we have to be so careful that we don't focus on the storms. I said we don't have to focus on the storms. Amen. We can't focus on why so many things have more questions than answers. Because God knows. Amen. Nothing that takes place catches God by surprise. Because the Bible says, know not to God all of his works from the beginning. Amen. The scripture says, God knows what things we have need of. What? You know, and a lot of times, you know, we all are human. Anybody here that's not human, stand up. All right, that means we all owe me about the same, amen. You know, I have to throw a couple of those curveballs every once in a while to make sure that you're with me. Amen. Like I said, then one day I said, if you're dead, stand up. So glad that nobody stood up. But we sure didn't want the night of the living dead walking around the church. Amen. Amen. But there's so many things that are happening in life and all around us. And a lot of times we think we have to remind God of what God says. Amen. Yeah, we get to know some of those situations. Well, God, you said this and you said you'd do this. And if I do that, if I do the other. If God said it, don't you know he already knows how to do it?
Yeah.
But in our quest, amen, at times to get deliverance or to get answers, we kind of take God's place and start telling God, dictating to God. Amen. God, you said this. God, you said that. Like God doesn't already know. Amen. So we just need to get in a place, as the scripture said, where we need to be still and know that he's God. Be still and know that he's God. Amen. And the things that we don't understand, that's what we have to trust God. Amen. We talk to God, talk. Hallelujah. But a lot of times we don't want to walk the talk. Amen. We talk about all that God can do, how God can make a way out of no way, how God is able to do this, and God is able to do that. then when we get in the middle of this and that, we have to tell God what, how he needs to bring us out. Amen. But God knows how to do everything.
Yes,
amen. But fail. So we need to really, learn how to fully trust God. You know, I was reading, they were doing these trust exercises. I wonder if we did those trust exercises, how many of us would really trust God? But one of the trust exercises they said, in order to see if you trust your people, close your eyes, and they said, close your eyes, and the person's behind you, they said, they just let go and fall backwards. Amen. Say, just close your eyes, you trust them, and just fall backwards. How many of us, before we fall, we're going to look to make sure? Right? Amen. We're going to make sure they're back there, because I don't want to fall. Well, you know, a lot of times that's what we do to God. We trust him, but we always look to see where he's at before we fall into his hands. Because we don't really trust God. We say we trust him, but in essence, we, a lot of times we try to help God out. But God, the Bible said, God is from what? Eternity to what? So in our finite little time and minds, we can't help God out. Amen. But let us stand. Tonight, after I prepared what I thought was a message, I got another message. I said, I'm all messed up. Maybe we should just come pray and dismiss. Amen. I don't know how the rest of these ministers do it, but I get messed up. Like, Lord, I come to church. Which one of these messages am I supposed to get? The one that I prepared the best, he said it wasn't for the saints. It was for me. And I can't be disobedient and try sneaking in there on you, because it was for me. Amen. I got to trust and believe God.
Right.
But amen. I think we're going to deal with Psalms 107. Psalms 107. And this is a psalm of Israel, when God brought them out of the wilderness and as God delivered them. Amen. But I'm not going to keep you. We're going to just read three verses of scripture, but we're going to go through the whole psalm. Amen. Three verses of scripture, that means verses, 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip down and read verse 8 together. Okay? Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to read verse 8 together. Do we have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
Do we all have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
All right. First one reads, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the land, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. In verse 8. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Can the church say the word of the Lord?
Word of the Lord.
If blessed,
blessed already.
Amen. You may be seated. Truly we thank God tonight. We know that God is good. Now, Psalms, actually, the book of Psalms is divided up into how many divisions? All right, five. All right, we need to go right on the spot. We didn't come here for that. Right? We didn't come here for that. But the book of Psalms is divided up into five divisions. Amen. 1 through 41 parallels Genesis. Amen. And then I think it's 42 to 72 parallels Genesis. All right, that turkey must have been real good. Amen. All those chillings and hogs. But 42 to 72 parallels Exodus. Then I think 73 to 89 parallels Leviticus. Then from 90 to 106, that's equivalent to Numbers. And then from 107 to 150 is equivalent to Deuteronomy. Amen. So when Israel learned the Psalms, they didn't just memorize it as a psalm, but it was a song that they sang to God as part of their service. Like we sing our songs. Well, they sang the Psalms, and each division represented a portion of Israel's history. Amen. So we're here. 107 is part, will be part of the book of Deuteronomy. So it'll be Deuteronomy of the Psalms. Amen. So God is dealing now with having brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And this is now their book of Deuteronomy. Okay? So verse 1 reads, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is
good.
And his mercy endureth forever." Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Because mercy keeps back something that we deserve. But his mercy endureth forever. So God brings the children of Israel out of Egypt. In verse 2, he said, "Let the what? Redeemed of the Lord." Amen. We ought to be able to tell somebody how good God has been. We should have a testimony for what God has done. So it said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the
enemy."
Amen. At one time, the devil, who's the god of this world, was our God. But thank God for redemption.
Yes.
Amen. And this word redeemed deals with, there's all kinds of kinsmen, redeemers, and different types of redemption. But this deals with a family member. This is type of redemption where a family member has a family member's back. This type of redemption deals with a family. And this family member has the family member's back. You know, you tell somebody, say, "Don't worry about whatever trouble you and I'll be there. And I'll be your protector." Well, it said, this is what God was for the children of Israel, because they were in the family of God. So he did what? He redeemed them. Amen. And the way that he redeemed them is they were lost, as we were lost in trespasses and sin. But he shed his blood and died for us. And that brought us into the
family.
So guess what? Everybody that's saved is in the family. And God has your back because you are his purchased possession. How did he purchase us? With his
love.
Amen. You think the Lord, with all of that, he went through a lot before he got to Calvary. But you think he went through all that on Calvary for us to be miserable? To be downcast? To be downtrodden? And Ella Gibbs was slick on Sunday. He corrected me. Y'all can't say he corrected me. You caught it? Yeah, I know. I called it too. But that's all right. If y'all didn't catch it, I ain't going to bring it. But I brought it from the preacher's standpoint. Amen. Nobody else didn't catch it? Oh, never mind. Y'all didn't catch it. Mr. Simon caught it. Amen. It's where the Bible said, "While thou cast down," it says, "hope thou not in God." That's not what it says. It says, "Hope thou." So he had to get up here and correct me. I'm like, what? I'm about to take up my. I should have muted him. Amen. Amen. But God has redeemed us. Why should we, as a child of God, be cast down when God has our back? Amen. And whatever things, events are taking place in our lives, they are not for our destruction. Amen. But as God told the children of Israel, whatever you're going through, he said, "I permitted that." Or I allowed that to happen to know what was in your heart. Amen. Not what your mouth said, not what everybody thinks about you. God said, "I wanted to reveal what was in your heart." Well, who was God revealing that heart condition to? Not to him, because he already
knows.
So who is he revealing it to? God allows us to go through situations to allow us to see ourselves. And then you ever go through something, and when you go through it, and after you react, you're like, "Whoa. All right, y'all better than me. I got a lot of those whoas." Like, "Lord, I reacted like that." Amen. You know, I said, "Well, God, I got to conquer that." Guess what? You will get another test. Because God's desire is for us to pass the test. Amen. And God will move you. I don't care how holy, righteous, and godly you are. God will not move you to the next spiritual level until you conquer where you presently are. So God said, "Wait, you messed up that time." She said, "Okay, I'm going to give you a little more time to build yourself up." Then you have to pass the test. Why? Because God wants us to see ourselves as He sees us. And there are many times when God sees, he's like, you know what, right now I see they're all right, but in 2 or 3 years, God said, I'm looking now, if I don't do some preparation, amen, if I don't try to align their lives with my word, if they don't get it together in 2 or 3 years, they're going to drift away from me. So God says, you know what, I'm going to permit trouble now to get their attention so I can draw them close to me. Amen. The scripture says, but it is good that we draw near unto God. It's good for us to draw near unto God. And then James said, draw nigh unto God, and God will do what?
Draw nigh.
So it's good for us to draw nigh unto God and for us to put our trust in Him. Amen. That's in Psalm 73. When the psalmist is going through his highs and lows, he said, it's good. How many know it's good? I know it's good. Say we draw near to a lot of things, but it's good to draw near unto God. Amen. But he said, let the redeemed of the Lord. Has God redeemed you? Who are you telling? Who are you sharing the good news with? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. And verse 3 says, and gather them out of the lands. From the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. Amen. Then, that's division. Even this psalm is broken up into 5 divisions. Amen. Because it's paralleling Israel, their Exodus, whether Genesis, their Exodus, their Leviticus, their Numbers, and finally their Deuteronomy. At the end of Deuteronomy, they did what? They went into the land of promise. Amen. So this Psalm 107 is broken up into 5 divisions. Can we say 5 divisions?
5 divisions.
Amen. So let's hit Genesis right now. All right. So Genesis will be Psalm 107, and it would be from verses of 107 verses 4 through 9 would be Genesis. Amen. And this division of Genesis deals with the history of Israel as they were traveling. Amen. As they came out of Egypt, when they came out of Egypt, they went on a journey. Amen. They did what? For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. So verse 4 reads, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. How long?
40 years.
Verse 5. Hungry and thirsty, their souls. Remember, that's when they begin to question God. When you trust God, you don't question God. You just say, Lord, I don't understand it, but you know what? Your way. I can't figure it out. Lord, but your will. See, if they cried unto the Lord in their who do we cry to when we need some help? Amen. I need help. I got to cry out to the Lord. And he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the
way.
That's the good thing about God. When we let God lead us, we can be assured we're going in the what kind of way?
Right way.
Who's leading us tonight? Amen. Are we being led more by our spirit or by God's spirit? In the right way, then they might go to a city of habitation. Now at the end of vision 1, he says, at the end of Genesis of this chapter, he said, oh, that men would
praise the Lord.
Amen. For his what? Wonderful work, goodness and wonderful works unto the
children of men.
So at the end of their Genesis experience, at the end of them being a lost traveler, they did what? Cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered them out of their distress. Amen. And after God delivered them, they said, oh, that men would. Anybody been delivered tonight? Come on. Anybody God has made a way for tonight? It's time to
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's their Genesis. Now let's go to their Exodus. Amen. Verse 9 reads, for he satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness in the shadows of death, being bound in affliction and iron. You know, it's in chains. They're bound. Amen? Because they rebelled against the word of God. What did Israel do when they couldn't figure out God? They began to murmur and complain. They began to rebel. This was their exodus as they were leaving. Amen. They began to rebel against God. And they rebelled against his word, and they contempt the counsel of the Most High. This means they despise. Amen. You ever go to, you know, when you go to court and the judge holds somebody in contempt because they disobeyed his orders? Well, this is what Israel was doing. God was giving them direction and order. But they were holding, God had to hold them in contempt because they disregarded. They disobeyed. They did not honor his word. Amen. So therefore, he brought down their hearts with. God knows how to get your attention. Amen. They fell down and there was. That's a bad state. That's a serious condition. When you get to the point you realize, I have no help. So it's time for me to turn back to God. Amen. Isaiah said, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Amen. Wickedness causes us to go in a bad way, and it also causes us to have not the right thoughts. So it said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return
unto the Lord.
God, this is God's trying to get their attention. Return unto the Lord, and our God will pardon, and he will have not just regular mercy, but God will have
abundant
mercy. Well, why do we need abundant mercy? Because we rebelled against God. We held him in contempt. We held God in contempt. We despised God. Amen. We did not honor his word. So God said, you know what? The conditions in my word says when you do this, these are the ramifications. But God said, because I'm merciful, because I'm your God, I'm going to have mercy. That's why I said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy is enduring. Thank God for mercy. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and break their bands. Amen. What had them bound? He broke them in sunder. Verse 15 said, oh, that man would, for his and his wonderful work unto the children. Every time God delivered them, he said, they ought to do what?
Praise him.
Every time God brings you out of something, you need to praise him. Every time God makes a way out of no way, it's time to praise him. For his goodness and his
wonderful
work. He didn't have to do it.
Amen.
Thank God that he looked beyond all of the foolishness. Amen. You know, not for any of y'all, but you know, I've seen people in these other places, they say some foolish things against God. Matter of fact, Bishop Carl Smith said, thank God that he doesn't go by what our foolish lips say. He was a bishop, man. He had eaten up Bible school, so he knew what he was talking about. He said, thank God that he doesn't go by what our foolish lips say, but God reads our hearts. Anytime you ever get upset and say some stuff, all right, I know. I'm talking about us regular people. I'm not talking about y'all real holy people up here. I'm talking about like me. Amen. I'm not perfect, so I mess up. Thank God that he doesn't read my lips. Somebody said, I didn't say it. You thought it. Amen?
Amen.
But God said, I look beyond all of that surface stuff and I look into your hearts. So Bishop Carson said, thank God that in dealing with us, he doesn't go by what our foolish lips say, but he goes by what's in our heart. So now Genesis, oh, that men would praise the Lord.
Yes.
Exodus, oh, that men would
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord for his what? Goodness. Amen. The Bible talks about God's goodness. So you know you're not that the goodness of the Lord is intended to him. Thank God for goodness. Somebody said, I don't know how God can keep blessing them. Thank God that he's blessing them if they're wrong, because he's using his goodness to lead them
to repentance.
Amen. In church, a lot of times we get caught up in all of the hoopla, and we want to pass judgment, and God is trying to help somebody. Amen. Oh, the men would praise the Lord for his goodness. The goodness of the Lord is intended to, Lord, when I mess up, please lead me. Lord, when I'm in error, please lead me. Lord, when I thought the wrong thing, please lead me. Because ultimately, I want to be saved. And if I'm going the wrong way, I need your goodness to lead me unto repentance. So we praise the Lord at the end of Genesis. We praise the Lord at the end of Exodus. Now we get ready to go into what?
Leviticus.
Amen. Verse 16. This psalm is broken up into five parts. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression means to go what? Against God. Amen. The fool is in his
heart.
So what happens when you get to be in a foolish state, you begin to say some things about God that's not true. Amen. So the fool is in his heart that God doesn't see and God doesn't know. So it says that the fool, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, is not the sin, but it's the motive behind the sin. David said, Lord, forgive me of my iniquity. It wasn't just the sin of Bathsheba, but how he plotted and connived to try to cover the sin. Iniquity is you're wrong. Now you're trying to cover the wrong and fool God. You can't trick God. That's iniquity, because God sees and he knows. Amen. So now he's transgressed. Now they're full of iniquity. The iniquity is, you know what? The sin is the transgression. I'm wrong. The iniquity is I try to justify the wrong and put the blame on somebody else. That's iniquity. Amen. So don't look so serious. You're about to scare me up in here. I'm about to duck behind the pulpit or something. Amen. So it says, because of their transgression, because of their iniquity, they are
afflicted.
Why am I going through it? It's time to search and try our ways and return unto the Lord. And our God will have mercy. And our God will abundantly pardon as we are now going through Leviticus. Leviticus is where they got the law, where they got all the holy days. Holy days unto the Lord, not the holidays. Amen. That's where they got the Lord's feast. That's where God taught them about holiness. God spent one whole chapter, I think it was Leviticus chapter 18, teaching the children of Israel about holiness. Amen. So Leviticus is where they learn to be like God. Amen. So this is their Leviticus. Leviticus says, get rid of the sin, get rid of the transgression, and kill the iniquity. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then, thank God, at the end of every situation, at the end of Genesis, they cried. At the end of Exodus, they cried. Amen. God shows us how to get out of our situations. Then they cry unto the Lord in their
trouble.
Anybody in trouble? Anybody need some help? Amen. You can talk to me, but I guarantee you I can't do you like Jesus. You can talk to your best friend, I guarantee they cannot do you like. Says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 20, He sent his. See, they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them. But how did he deliver them? Through his what?
Word.
Through his word. He sent his word to do what?
Heal them.
Heal them. Well, if I'm asking God for deliverance, I'm asking God for help. Amen. Matter of fact, I heard something to someone not too long ago, and I don't know who they are, and I'm not trying to remember them for sake of not knowing, so I pray it wasn't any of you, and I don't think it was any of you. But I was talking to somebody, they said, I got it so bad, I can't come to church. Wow. I was like, wow. Jesus said they were sick. He's a physician, but they didn't hold. Don't need a physician. So when you're in trouble, that's what you need. Even when you're not in trouble, you still need to come to church. So I said, wait a minute, that doesn't sound altogether right. You're saying things are bad, you don't know what to do, but I don't have enough energy to come to church. I said, that's what you need. Oh yeah, there was nobody here. Now I just remember who it was. All right, so all y'all don't try to figure out it's you because it ain't you. Amen. It ain't you. Can we look at somebody and say it ain't you? Come on, look at somebody and tell them it ain't you. Amen. We all get into this together. Amen. Amen. The first thing, I'm so devastated. I don't know what to do. Now I do remember. I said, "What?" I said, "Well, do you have church tonight?" They said, "Yeah, but I can't go to church." Oh, you just said you need all the help you need, and you talking about I can't go to church? That's when you're supposed to come out to me. All you that labor and heavy laden. He said, "I give you." Rest. So that's when you need to go to church. Amen. So he sent his word and healed them, and his result of his word, he did what? Delivered them through the what? Word. Now this word has like a dual application. For who was the word? In the beginning was? The word was? And the word? Amen. So it's this spiritual word, and it's also the Son of God, Jesus. When we get to the point that we don't know what to do in holiness, he sent his Son, thank you, Jesus, to heal us and to deliver us out of all a lot of troubles and distresses. Amen. So when things are bad, run to the Lord. Amen. Because that's when you need the physician. Then he said, oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his
wonderful works.
Then he does something in the next verse, which really, he said, well, this don't really make sense. God has healed, he's done this. Then verse 22 talks about the sacrifice. Amen. When things are bad and you need help, it's time to
sacrifice.
So at the end of Leviticus, now we jump into
Exodus.
No, not Exodus. At the end of Leviticus, we're going to what?
Numbers.
I messed up. That's all right. So let them what?
Sacrifice.
The sacrifices of. Y'all laughing at me? That's all right. I don't know. Somebody got to laugh. Somebody. Amen. It's time to sacrifice. The sacrifices of after God sent his word and healed them. After he told them to pray, the man, it's time for you to
sacrifice.
What's a sacrifice? Thanksgiving. You know why you're sacrificing Thanksgiving? Because mentally, spiritually, emotionally, I'm broken. But I still got to sacrifice. Now, when you sacrifice, you're not sacrificing to man because we give man anything, it's all right. But this type of sacrifice is to God, meaning we want to give God our best. Amen. The Bible says, when God accepts your sacrifice, it's a sweet-smelling savior. So you want to give God your best even after he has delivered you. So he said, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with
joy.
Now, he said, well, I sacrificed and I'm thanking God. Are you now rejoicing? God has delivered you. You're sacrificing. You're thanking God. But Lord, have mercy. When they look at you, what do they see? A lot of you, when they look at me, what do they see? Amen. So they all think of Pope my name is. This is your sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now you need to rejoice. That's why Paul said in prison, he said, rejoice, and again I say,
rejoice.
God, that's amazing. You in prison, how are you going to be encouraging somebody else? Because it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Mentally, emotionally, and even maybe spiritually, I'm broken. But I still have a mind to thank God. In the middle of it, I not only can thank God, but I can still rejoice. Hallelujah. We need to learn to rejoice in the middle of it. God said, you know what? When I look at my son, when I look at my daughter, when I look at my children, I see they're broken. But their praise is reflecting their deliverance. So I'm going to praise him now for what I know he is going to do. Hallelujah. Can you praise God right now for what you know he's going to do? Amen. Can you praise God in the new world? Can you praise God and give him the sacrifice of thanksgiving and rejoice? Lord, thank you. Coming from, but I still have a mind to praise him again. The scriptures are there, everything that has breath. If you're breathing, it's still time to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In everything we ought to give, come on, in everything we ought to give, thanks. Hallelujah. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So learn to praise him. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. Learn to praise him. We're getting there. We almost finished. Amen. Now that's, we get Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, now we're in Numbers. Amen. Now this one, he deals with a different scenario now. He's going to deal with being in a storm. How many know when you're in a storm, you're not in control? Amen. When you're in a storm, the winds are blowing. The tempest is blowing. And you just go along with the ride. Amen. That's why, unfortunately, we did not go to South Carolina because we didn't want to be in the storm. Amen. Amen. And somebody said, can you read the signs? Yes. They said, danger. So when they said danger, I said, I understand the signs. And I knew I want to tempt the Lord our God. Amen. So when they said danger, guess what? We went the other way. So this is now their Numbers are Leviticus. Numbers are Deuteronomy is one of them. I don't know. Y'all kind of messed me up. I lost count. Amen. It said they, now this is going to portray life where you are not in control. You are absolutely not in control. You know, I kind of found this. You know, we would say the scripture all the time that man's extremities are God's. And say, we always talk about coming to your wit's end. So what in the world is a wit's end? You're thinking, what's a wit's end? You mean when you come to the end of yourself? I said, Lord, I've heard so much about wit's end. They got to be somewhere in the Bible. Would you think, right? If people are saying, now a lot of, like I said on Sunday, I have to stick to the Bible because I don't want to go saying stuff because I don't know where everything is coming from. All right, but we know when we say in the Bible, we're in the Word of God. But guess what? We're going to read about a wit's end. Say, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. I went deep sea fishing one time. Never again. Good God Almighty. Went out there and couldn't see nothing but water. I don't swim the greatest. I can't swim at all. I was like, whoa. I was like, wait a minute. Is this thing going to ever stop going out? Little lamb was getting smaller and smaller. Then we got in the middle of the thing, they come out another boat, had a mayday, was sinking. Please take me back to shore. You know, so when you go out there in the deep, guess what? You're at the mercy of the water. Even, I don't care how great the captain is, he can't control the water. But they're up in the deep now. Say, for he commanded and raises the stormy wind. Now he's going to give you the picture of a storm and you're not in control. Amen.
Which lifted up the waves thereof. So now they're out in the storm. And then the wave, all of us watch some of those Discovery Channel. You ever see those ships when they go way up and they come down, some of them are broken. Amen. And they have to send all these Coast Guard different ones out there and rescue them. Well, this is a storm. Amen. And they said, the Lord knows, but he's sending the storm. Amen. They mount up to the heavens. This wave is big. Take you high, up to the heavens. Then they go down to the depths. This is a storm. You go up to heaven, you're going up pretty high. Then it brings them back down again. Their soul, I'm not in control of this situation. This is a storm. This storm is so bad that even my soul is melting. Amen. You get in those storms, the boat is up and down, even if you're in a plane, you can't control it. So your knees start shaking, everything is moving. Amen. Because guess what? You cannot control it. Amen. Said, no, go to the next one. We did this one. They reel to and fro and stagger like a they in the storm. Amen. And the only way they can portray the storm is like a drunk man. They don't know what to do. The ship is up. The ship is down. They're out of control and they're at the mercy of God. And then it says, and are at their
wits.
They're at the end of themselves. They don't know what to do. Amen. Any of us have some of those I'm at the end of myself moments? Any of us got some of those storms where, Lord, I'm going up to heaven and I'm back down to the depths. And I'm back up and I'm back down. Just the waves of life are beating me to death. And I don't know what to do. All I can do is within my soul is melting because of the trouble. Amen. Verse 28 says, then they... But you notice something at the end of Genesis, they did what? Cried. At the end of Exodus, they
cried.
At the end of Leviticus, they
cried.
At the end of Numbers, they
cried.
At the end of every trial, it's time to cry to God. He knows how to deliver. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I can help myself. I was reeling to and fro like a drunk man. I had no control, but I had a mind to cry out to God. Then he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves there are. Well, where did the calm come from? I cried unto the Lord. God knows how to fix every storm in our lives. God knows how to take the storm and make it a calm. And he knows how to say, peace,
be still.
Be still. Amen. And you know what? All God has to do is speak the word. Do we trust God? Do we really believe God? Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness. God is good. Hallelujah. God is good. We don't understand why it's happening, but still God is good. So oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and his
works.
God's works are wonderful. God's works are past finding out. For his wonderful works unto children of men. Amen. Next verse, 32, said, then are they glad. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desire. God brings you to a place where you can be at peace. God will bring you to a place where you can be at peace. But we need to learn to praise the Lord in the middle of it. Amen. In every situation, cry out to God. Amen.
You can cry to everybody else, they won't fix it. They can't help you. They can't calm the storm. They can't give you peace, and they won't bring you to a haven. But God.
But God.
But God. Amen. No one else has to know anything that's going on in your life. All of my life, I'm a private person. I'm going through my situation, but I won't tell anybody. I won't even tell my wife what's going on, because I don't want to think I'm soft. I don't want to think, oh, here goes my tissue back. That's right. No, I don't think it. Amen. But you know what? As we grew up, my parents always taught us to depend on God. Depend on God. So when things get bad, I would never try to reflect how they are. Matter of fact, my wife just said, she said, you got to stop telling everybody everything's all right, because it ain't all right. I said, yeah, but it's all right by faith. Uh-huh. Amen. Because you know what? We have to learn to project what we believe God is going to take us. Amen. Our problem is we get too used to seeing where we are, and we forget that God is able to do exceedingly for you, exceedingly for everybody else, Minister Simon. So you don't get up and correct me like Minister Elder Gibbs. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ever ask. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is truly able to do exceeding abundantly? Can you go to, we're going to close in Ephesians chapter 1, I think verse 18 or 17. We're going to close in and show you the mighty power working ability of God. Ephesians 1, that's good right there. It said that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the
knowledge of Him.
That's a mighty scripture. That God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the
knowledge
of Him, the eyes, next verse, of your being. Well, how did my eyes get open? Through the spirit of the wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him. Then that brings your eyes to be enlightened. You don't get enlightened outside of God. You get enlightened in God. You do not get the answer outside of God, but you get the answer. You don't receive the revelation outside of God, but you receive the spirit of revelation
in God.
In God. Amen. That they may know what is the hope of
His calling.
As you begin to surrender to God and trust God, then you learn the hope of His calling. A lot of people say, my calling. No, it's not our calling. God calls us. Many are called, but few are
chosen.
I would say another part, but I ain't going to say that. All right, just for entry, but I won't do that. But it said that, and what the riches of the glory of His
inheritance in the
saints. If you're a saint, do you know God has riches for you? We're not talking about these carnal riches. We're talking about the riches in wisdom and knowledge and the revelation of Him. Amen. He said, I believe it a little earlier, he talks about what us being in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, and they've taken that and twisted that to mean wealth. God's talking about a spiritual wealth, that there's no comparison. Amen. I'm almost finished. Next verse reads, and what is the exceeding of His power to who? What? The what? Exceeding greatness of His power to us. Do you believe? If you believe there's an exceeding great power that can be performed or worked in your life, according to the working of His. Amen. According to His work of His mighty power. That's good enough. We're not going to go any further. But if you go back to 107, we're going to go to the last verse then. Amen. I think Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning
of wisdom. The fear of what? It's a reverence for God. It's the beginning of wisdom. But he said, but the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So you want wisdom? You need to fear God. You want understanding? You need knowledge of God. Amen. Verse 43 of this last 107:43. Whoso is wise and will observe, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Whoso is what? Wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of. When you see people take God for granted and treat God like he's nothing, that's not wise. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We may stand, let us stand now. I don't want to intrude too much on your turkey, dressing, ham, pork chops, ham hocks, corn pudding, yams, sweet potato pies, apple pies, pecan pies. I said, all right, don't be running home to eat. Amen. But it's time for us to praise the Lord. Whatever you're experiencing, God knows. But more than what you're experiencing, God knows how to deliver. The Bible says God knows how to deliver the godly. Anybody get godly toy? Then God knows how to deliver you out of whatever you're going through. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. It's time for deliverance. As the elders come forward, the ministers come forward, it's time for deliverance. It's time to surrender all. It's time to let God be God. Let God be God. When we let God be God, you know, we say, Lord, I don't understand how. I don't know when. But I have the assurance that you know how to deliver. Amen. Anybody want God to deliver them out of some situations? Did God make ways out of no way? It's time to trust in God.